statue.
Hey, Fred. I never did have a head for heights.
And the smell of this gilt paint is something chronic.
You're beginning to get a gilt complex.
Oh, look at you, Elf. Witty with it now. Come on, we'd better lower ourselves down to do a bit more.
Righto, then. You put the pot of paint on your shoulder and I'll let the cradle down.
All right, now, careful, Elf. There's a good lad. Let the rope out gentle.
All right, now, Fred. Hold on. Here we go.
Elf, stop!
There we are, then.
You stupid cloth-headed clown. Fancy pulling up sharp like that. Now I won't look what's happened to the paint.
Oh, Fred, I'm sorry. What a mess.
That was an excerpt from The Man with the Golden Arm. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than could be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Lumberly Falterwick and Natalie Shenwood, Songs at the Clavichord, the Massed Choir of the Chorus Girls Rest Home, Jack Luby, Miss Evelyn Exit.
Wouldn't mind going out with her.
To continue, Big Chief Blenkinsop, Thalia Gronch, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Now, always make sure before listening that this is the authentic Beyond Our Ken. Beware of imitations. Because one week, another chap calling himself Kenneth Horne turned up for the broadcast, but fortunately, the genuine article was easily distinguishable. I've got a little lion stamped on my head. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. Well, by far the most eventful day was Thursday, when I had a contract to appear for Unlimited Television Limited. So, I went round to their new studio for a morning rehearsal.
All right, settle down now, please. Settle down, please. Thank you. Well, Mr. Horne, can we have you in position? Thank you. All right, Gladys, get into place alongside Mr. Horne. That's it, right. Right, now, quiet, everybody. Got your camera lined up, Cecil?
Yes, Diddley.
Right. Now, this time, don't forget to wind the film past the four little red dots. Stand by. Action!
Peter, it's been such fun today. I've had a lovely time.
Yes, Samantha, and you're such fun to be with.
Oh, isn't it heavenly here in the haystack? Oh, I wish this day would never end. Clasp my hand tighter.
Samantha?
Yes, Peter?
There's only one perfect way to end our day together.
Oh, Peter, you mean...
Yes. Here, have one of the new king-sized filter-tipped cigarettes.
Oh, well, they're not Trafalgar Squares, are they?
Of course. Double the length, twice the strength.
Only Trafalgar Squares contain that subtle blend of toasted menthol and new-mown hay.
Plus the special high-octane smoke flavor worth 10 guineas an ounce.
So easy to identify. Only this cigarette produces a cloud of foul, evil-smelling smoke.
Yes, you're always alone with Trafalgar Square.
Okay, that's fine. A 10-minute break, everyone.
Oh, dear, I'm glad that's over, Gladys.
Me too. Anyone got a fag?
Well, I'm going for a quick cup of tea, I think. See you later.
Excuse me, Mr. Could I have your autograph?
Oh, certainly. Yes. Is.
I hope you don't mind me asking. It's not for me. It's for me granddad.
Oh. Well.
Thank you.
There you are. Do you work here?
Yes, Unlimited Television very kindly kept me on. You see, I used to be a stage doorkeeper here before this place became a television studio.
Oh, you mean when it was the old Odadrome Theatre?
You know, Mr. Holmes, some of the best British musical comedies were staged in this very theatre.
Yes, I know these modern musicals may be all right for some, but you can't beat the old ones, can you?
No, you can't. When I think of smash hits like Susie and the Soldier, remember that one?
Yes, certainly I do.
Yes, and then there was That Girl Gertie.
Yes, that one too.
Tame Pansies.
Tame Pansies?
Yeah, that was a sequel to Wild Violet. But my favorite of all was Kitty from Kensington.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
You don't remember Kitty from Kensington? Oh, you missed a treat. What a lovely show that was. I can recall it all so clearly.
The scene, a fashionable street in Kensington. The time, just after the First World War.
Good gracious! Do these old eyes of mine deceive me? No! It can't be. It is. It's Captain Percy Brewster, home from the war. Oh, bless my soul. It's Reggie Fairfax. Hello, sport. Good to see you. I heard a rumor that you got shot in the Ardennes. Nonsense. By the way, this is my ex-batsman, Bobby Beadle.
Honored to meet you, Mr. Fairfax. Captain Brewster has kindly allowed me to stay in his service.
Where are you off to, Percy? To tea with Lord Fitz Strumpet. Dash it all, so am I. I hear his daughter Millicent is quite an eyeful. Be careful, Percy. From what they say, a rich, brave, and handsome man like you is just what she is looking for.
Don't you worry about the captain. He is used to such things. All the pretty young girls throw themselves at his feet.
Oh, Percy, I can't help it if I've got sexy toes. Well, this is the house. Shall we go in?
Wait, I have an amusing idea.
Hmm?
Bobby, let us indulge in a little harmless deception. You and I shall change places.
I don't understand, sir.
You shall be Captain Percy Brewster, and I shall be your batman, Bobby.
Oh. I say, what fun.
Well, Captain Percy Brewster, what do you say?
Stand to attention when you're talking to me.
All right, don't overdo it. Now, remember, Reggie, I'm Bobby. Come on, let's go in.
Well, gentlemen, may I present to my daughter, Millicent?
I say, Lord Fitztrumpet, what a stunner.
Don't be impertinent, Bobby. Go to the servants' quarters and amuse yourself.
Very good, Captain.
So you are the team of Percy Brewster. I've heard so much about your deeds, Captain.
Then let us take a walk in the rose garden.
Oh, a splendid idea. It's so nice at this time of the year.
It's nice at any time of the year. Come, Millicent, let us savor the breath of the wild hysteria.
Captain, surely you mean wisteria.
I know what I mean.
Your arm, Captain Brewster.
Well, please, call me Percy.
Oh, Percy. Isn't it beautiful out here?
Not half so beautiful as you, Millicent.
Look at the roses. Aren't they blooming lovely?
Yes, I'm a sucker for roses. Tell me what else you like.
A boating on the river with a handsome army officer. Do you know any?
Only me. What about next weekend?
You mean you and I in the same boat together?
Yes.
Oh.
I'd like to kiss and cuddle you hoo-hoo in a canoe. Think of all the things to do in a canoe.
It would be so much fun to hoo-hoo in a canoe. Nothing like a bill and coo in a canoe.
Drifting slowly through the water, doing things we didn't alter.
Nothing else on earth would matter, interfere this private regatta.
And I would always be so true in a canoe.
With a wedding ring for two in a canoe.
Hand in hand and cheek to cheek. Together we'll be up the creek in our canoe. You and me in love in you. Yes, me and you in a canoe. Well,
well, well, half an hour is gone. I wonder what's keeping Millicent and Captain Brewster.
Don't worry, Lord Fitztrumpet. They may have dallied by the dahlias.
Yes, and no doubt Cupid's been at it again. The young rascal, eh? Are you in love, Mr. Fairfax?
Yes, sir, I am. But unhappily, she does not return my love.
Oh, what rotten luck, Mr. Fairfax. Well, would it help to tell me about it?
Indeed. It might. Thank you.
Oh, she's so nice to him, but she's not nice to me. She said no twice to me. There'll be no rice for me.
What a shame, old man.
Oh, she's so kind to him. And yet she's blind to me. She's oft declined to me. Her arms then twined to me.
Poor chap, I know how you must feel.
She's okay with him, but just says nay to me. She has brought a dismay to me. Won't go astray with me.
Can't trust him, you don't think
of she.
Yes, all right, that's enough. Thank you, yes, all right. Yes. You're only making it more painful. A good cup of tea will put you right. It's late today. What are they up to below stairs?
Hello. Who are you?
I'm the kitchen maid. My name is Kitty.
You are very pretty, Kitty. So slender and pale.
Not really, sir. I have been mixing flour.
Oh. Oh, pretty witty, Kitty.
Who are you, sir?
I'm Captain... That is, I am in the service of Captain Percy Brewster. My name is Bobby.
Hello, Bobby. I can scarce believe that you are in service. You seem such a man of the world, and I, a simple kitchen maid who knows nothing of life.
My dear Kitty, neither do I know much. So you see, we are both, how shall I put it, dead ignorant. I do know one thing, though.
Oh, what is that?
I I'm their intelligent chatterer. Don't know why Anthony took Cleopatra into his tent, but you give me a thrill.
I don't know what King Charles bought his Gwyn, or how a camel can go without water indefinitely, but you give me a thrill. I'm not a lover of Shakespeare.
Never heard of Samuel Pepys.
But you have got what it takes, dear.
You can take it quite gladly for keeps. I don't know old Homer's Iliad, or why Delilah touched Samson's Iliad. Nothing at all, but you give me a thrill. I've studied anatomy, but oh, your looks and your figure quite shatter me. You're such a peach. Oh, you say that you will, 'cause you give me.
And you give me.
Darling, you give me a thrill.
The master's ringing for tea. I'd better take it up.
Here, let me help you.
And this one I bagged in the Highlands. Biggest antlers I've ever seen. Very proud of it.
Oh, in that case, I'd better take my hat off it.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, you're back, Millicent.
What's the matter with it?
No, he means... Oh, never mind. Lord Fitztrumpet, we have some news for you.
Dear Daddy, it's out there in the rose garden. We fell.
It's those blasty slippery leaves.
No, sir, no. Millicent and I, we're in love.
Congratulations.
Well, we must celebrate. Where's that confounded tea?
Sorry I'm late, sir.
It wasn't our fault, my lord. I've been singing to her.
What? What's that?
It's no good denying it. I'm in love with your kitchen maid.
Oh, no.
But, sir, you can't be. Think of your rank.
Oh, how fascinating. You're a taxi driver?
No, Millicent, I'm afraid he is the real Captain Percy Brewster.
Oh, no.
Yes. This deception has gone far enough. I am nothing but an ex-army batman.
And you are an army captain of high rank?
Yes, Kitty, I'm afraid so. Does this mean our love can never be? Well, it's a dashed awkward situation. I mean, a captain and a kitchen maid and a lord's daughter and a batman. It's unheard of.
Wait, all is not lost. You see, we too have practiced a little harmless deception. I am Kitty, the kitchen maid.
And I am Millicent, Lord Fitztrumpet's daughter.
No! Oh, bliss.
Is this true, Lord Fitztrumpet?
Yes, but you see, I'm not really Lord Fitztrumpet. I'm a gypsy.
Oh, God in heaven. Then, Millicent, you're...
No, he's a gypsy prince, actually.
But then you are of nobility, after all.
Oh, right.
Well, now we know who everybody really is, we may...
Just a minute. Since we're being quite truthful with each other...
Reggie, not you. Don't tell me you're not Reggie Fairfax.
I'm afraid I'm not.
Then, who on earth are you?
I'm
Sandy Wilson.
Well, there must be a moral in all this somewhere.
There is. True love conquers all.
Love is awfully simply, utterly, utterly, absolutely marvelous. It's the ride of the swing, the ornaments ring, a velvet goes ding, the annual thing is love. Love is awfully, awfully, simply, utterly, utterly, absolutely marvelous. It's the curse of the moon, a boy riding in June, a boy in this room, the annual thing is love.
half a key.
The candy cloth or brown one.
You can never tell how it's going to be. Love is awfully, awfully, simply, simply, utterly, utterly, absolutely, marvelous, safe in your eyes. A bottle of wine, a devil of wine, it's all been mine. It's awfully, awfully, simply, simply, utterly, utterly,
absolutely marvelous in love. And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on sport.
Does it interfere with smoking and drinking? Well, now, first of all, let's talk to one or two famous sports enthusiasts. You, sir, you're a well-known footballer, I believe.
That is so, yes. Stanley Birkinshaw. I play for Chocolate Athletic.
Chocolate Athletic, eh? What position?
I'm their soft centre forward. As it so happens, I've only just started with this side. Yeah. Previously, I was outside right for West Sussex Sentinels. They christened me the Super Flash because of my supreme speed, but my startling success was soon spotted, and I switched sides at some considerable transfer fee. Several thousands it was.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, tell me then, what is your best attribute as a footballer?
Well, you see, I'm such a first-class dribbler.
Now, here's another gentleman. You, sir, do you play any particular game?
Yes, I... Well, I'm going to give it up. It almost gives me such a shocking cold.
Well, I'm sorry about that. What game is it?
Draughts.
Now, here's a very charming lady. Madam, are you a sporting lover?
Oh, yes, very.
Well, now tell us, what are you interested in that won't get cut out?
As a matter of fact, I'm very keen on judo.
Oh, yeah.
I've been attending judo lessons for some time now. It comes in very handy.
May I ask, have you got a boyfriend?
Well, I did until last week, and then I threw him over.
And now we're privileged to meet a delightful old gentleman who was at one time a champion boxer. A champion boxer. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, son. Thank you for asking me up here.
Not at all. It's delightful to have you.
Thank you.
If I may interrupt just for one moment. I believe you've written a book on your boxing experiences.
Yes. That's true, sir. Yes, it's a sort of scrapbook. it tells all about my big fights.
Yes, I'm sure it does. Well, now, something I've always wanted to know, sir. What actually made you want to fight?
I drink, mostly. I can tell you. When I get one or two...
Are you all right, sir?
Thank
you. Oh, good. Well,
you nearly had me over there. Yes. Now,
tell me one thing more. How long were you in the fight? How long were you in the fight game?
35 years.
How long? And now, what was your most memorable fight?
That would be the welterweight contest with a Bermondsey basher. I had it all my own way for the first three rounds, and then the fourth round, I had a bit of bad luck. My seconds had to throw in the towel.
Oh, dear, you were in real trouble.
I was. My shorts were falling down. I was down the ankles. I had...
Of the many and varied sporting interests which cater for a wide public, there are, of course, those which are essentially of male appeal. Such adventurous pursuits as car racing.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
So this is the new car, eh? Rodney Mark III.
Isn't she a beauty?
Mmm. You had her on the circuit yet?
I've done a few laps this morning, and believe me, Charles, she went like a barn. Designed built my own specification.
Yeah. I adore the colour scheme, Rodney. Yes? Lilac and
Chartreuse. Charles. And then I got the new outset fins at the back. They're very different from the old design.
I know. Fins ain't what they used to be.
A bit of a wag. Now tell me, Charles, do you like... Now, come on, do you like my new crash helmet?
Honestly?
Yeah, come on.
Is that what it is? I thought you'd gone bald.
Then, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I did there. It's a pretty nerve-wracking game, this.
You're so right, Horace. I know you've got your heart set on winning the trophy this year. You deserve to. After all, you keep at it so hard.
Well, Charles, the railing stand gathers nerves telling what.
That's what I like about you, Rodney. Your tremendous nerve. No one else would have done a joke like that.
Yeah, so I think I'll take a car for another spin around the course.
Good idea. Can't have enough practice. But it'll all be worth it, Rodney.
Well, I hope so. At least I'm quietly confident.
Of course you'll win. Mm-hmm. Just think how proud you'll be.
Yes.
Triumphant winner of the soapbox derby. Stay far.
One of the most popular outdoor sports is the thrill of the turf, and almost every day the pleasures of horse racing are tasted by a large section of the public. Even those who are unable to attend the race meetings can enjoy the benefits of well-informed BBC commentary. We sent our own reporter, Cecil Snaith, to Kempton Park.
Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to Kempton Park, where the runners for the 2:30 are just coming up to the starting post. I am myself at the starting post, and in a very good position to see these 24 runners get away in this 6-furlong selling plate. The favourite, Cool Crew Harry, has been coughing slightly and is a little hoarse. Unfortunately, the great sport of horse racing has been besmirched a little just lately with the activities of outside gangs who have been attempting to... I say, just a moment. I just spotted someone giving something to one of the horses. I say there... What are you giving that horse?
Only a lump of sugar, Governor. He's very partial to it.
Oh, but are you sure it's ordinary sugar?
Of course it is. Here, you have a lump.
Oh, thank you. Yes, all right, it is sugar. Well, listen, you can't be too careful these days. Now, I see the starter is getting them in line now, and it looks like a good start. Yes, they're away first time, and... And this is Professor Smith, winner of the 2:30, returning you to the studio.
Well, there you are. There'll be another horn on next week when the subject will be bad-tempered doctors. Can they keep their patients? Also, in next week's program, we have an item of special interest for the Luton Girls Choir. It's the Luton Boys Choir. A well-known doctor will be talking about neuritis and how badly the theatre needs them. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. When a hairdresser retires, should he receive a parting gift? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed.